All right, 20 minutes now before 9 o'clock on this Friday morning. You know, whether you are a dues-paying member of a union or you have season tickets to a sporting event that was canceled because of COVID-19, you're under some kind of a contract that is perhaps being broken or altered in some way, and that is more work on the desk of our next guest. He is a contract attorney with Clark Hill, Dan Minkus. Dan, good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Paul.
The more I think about it, the more issues come to mind. I mean, there are a lot of contract issues that people in all different ways are going to be facing right now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And what's surprising, or I guess remarkable about this, is that it's both on the supply and on the demand side. Yeah. Typically, when we see a shortage of something, it's that we can't supply it to the people who want it. In this instance, we have people on both sides who are in vastly different situations and circumstances than when they entered the contract.
Give me some examples of how this is playing out.
Well, I mean, we can go as simple as the consumer who is planning to have a wedding, and they were going to have 150 people at that wedding, and now they can't have that wedding because, A, they can't gather, and, B, the reception hall or whomever can't provide the food, mm-hmm. is not permitted to do so. That would be an example of what we would call impracticality or impossibility. In that instance, both parties are unable to perform, and so under general contract law, the parties would be returned, a deposit would be returned, and there wouldn't be any damages. But we see situations where some parties are continuing to demand supply when the supplier is unable to do so. Paul, if you think about it, whenever anybody enters a contract or executes a contract, the parties are trying to set forth the terms of that which they expect to happen, and they're allocating their risk. And when something like this occurs, it was something that no one could have foreseen. And so then the question is whether or not the contract calls for that allocation of risk and identifies it, or if it doesn't, in which case then we're left to try to use general common law principles.
That's a good point. And you just said something that I find myself saying from time to time, and then I catch myself saying it, and that's when something like this happens, and I think, wait a minute, something like this has never happened in terms of a global pandemic that affects so many people in so many different ways. I mean, we've had 9/11, we've had recessions, we've had all kinds of natural disasters and things like this, but we've never had a situation like this. Is there some kind of boilerplate language that goes into a lot of contracts that would cover an event like this, or is this just something so new that that it's going to take a long time to unravel?
Well, that's a great question. Typically, we have what's called a force majeure provision in many commercial contracts. And the force majeure, which is major force, if you will, says that if certain things occur, that the performance will be excused. So, for example, earthquakes, tornadoes, riots. And what happens is, as our community and society experiences different issues, those force majeure contracts and clauses get changed. So, for example, after 9/11, terrorist attack all of a sudden crept its way into typical force majeure provisions. Most force majeure provisions do not have pandemic or epidemic listed as something that would excuse performance. However, some do say labor shortages. Mm. And I think there will be a fair amount of discussion and probably litigation over whether a force majeure provision that says labor shortages, when you have a directive from most of the governors telling employees they can't leave the home unless they're identified as a critical worker, that might then fit you into the force majeure. But I can tell you that at my firm, and I'm going to guess at most firms around the country and maybe around the world, pandemic and epidemic, I'm sure, will be added to the force majeure provisions going forward.
Oh, I bet it absolutely will. We do live in a somewhat litigious society. People are quick to say, I'm going to get my attorney on this when something doesn't go their way. However, with the scope and the magnitude of what's going on right now, are people generally being understanding of the situation, or are we seeing lawsuits already beginning to be filed based on what's been happening with cancellations and things like that?
Well, I'm happy to say at least my experience is that we are seeing, I think, the best of people. We are seeing true character come out. We are seeing people recognize that there is no safe quarter or corner. And so it's not as though there's the haves and the have-nots. Every single person, whether you're providing jobs or having a job, whether you're providing goods or using goods, everyone is affected. And at this point, I think we are seeing people act as rationally as we can expect them to. Having said that, when all the dust settles, I am expectant that there certainly will be some claims. It'll be many claims probably that will be asserted.
And I also think, Dan, it's going to be interesting to see how long this plays out and how we return to normal, because it's not going to be all of a sudden. It's not going to be one day the governor or the president or the mayor says, okay, everybody, you can go resume business as usual. It's going to be a gradual ramp up. And that, I think, is where things are going to get really complicated.
Well, I agree. You can't simply flip a switch. We are using the term on many deals that I'm working on, suggesting we're pressing the pause button, to use a recording analogy. And when you press play, it's not just going to pick up exactly where it left off. No. We're going to have supply chain issues. We're going to have employment dislocation issues. We are going to have probably some regulation issues. And those are all going to have to be worked through in each situation.
And it'll take a long time, too, won't it?
Oh, it will. Not only will the actual getting the economy back kickstarted take time, but so will the issues that are presented by the current legislation and what workers are entitled to and the callback rights and getting ourselves back to what will probably be a new normal.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to take a long time. It's really interesting, though, to think about some of those issues that will keep you busy, I'm sure, Dan, for the foreseeable future.
Well, I suppose they will. I much prefer to be working on opportunities than challenges, but hopefully we can turn some of those challenges into opportunities.
There you go. Dan, I appreciate your insight. Thanks for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Be
take
well.
Take care. Bye now. You too.
Bye-bye.